promise of Christ is this: my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Today is sometimes called Good Shepherd Sunday on church calendars because we hear of the picture language of Jesus as a good shepherd tending the sheep, some of the most beloved images of Christ that we have in our heritage. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The hymn we'll sing after this is one of my favorites, and it's a paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's one that sang at my mother's memorial service recently, at my father's many years ago. So for me, this is very powerful material. Jesus as a good shepherd. Believe it or not, I actually, and I know some people from my former congregation got tired of hearing this, but you're hearing it for the first time, so you can't get tired of it. My sister and I, when we were in grade school, received a gift from our landlord of a pet lamb, but we lived in a city, and I'm not sure what he was thinking. He and his wife had yet to have children, and I do not believe they even asked our parents for permission, but it was at Easter time, and they thought it would be cute to give the kids downstairs a lamb. Now, this is a town of 35,000 people. So, but nevertheless, I was the most popular kid in second grade when you would go down show and tell day. But as often happens to animals, as you know, they grow and they grow fast. And by fall, we couldn't keep it anymore. It just was, you know, it was out of control. We had a yard, etc. My parents located a farmers who agreed to take the animal in and guaranteed not to send it to market, which I think they kept that promise. And we would go out and visit on Sunday afternoons. And that fall, one Sunday afternoon, when we went out to visit, the animals are in one part of the field, and we called its name. And you know, it's this simple, actually. Like the Bible, the animal knew who we were, you know, knew that voice, and came running, and was running so hard that it actually bucked me, and I did a complete somersault and landed on my back in the field. But it knew our voice, and thought, this is incredible. This is not just a Bible lesson. This is for real, for real. Parents know this. You know it when your child is crying in the crowd, don't you? And if you're a young person, you know the voice of the parent. The bond is unbroken. What's very powerful in this scripture is that it takes us back to a time prior to Easter. Oddly, we're in the Easter season after the crucifixion and resurrection. But we're taken back to a time, actually, at the Feast of Hanukkah, where Jesus is wandering in the temple, and people ask him, "Who are you? Are you the Messiah?" And he gives an answer that has even more impact now after Easter. And he basically says, "My sheep hear my voice, and those who belong to me know the voice of the shepherd." And I began to think about this week, that the oddity of the fact that the text comes from the winter time, Hanukkah, but the image of the shepherd is used, and I said to myself, well, how does this pertain to Easter? And it began to sink in after a couple of experiences this week I want to share with you. He says, those who hear my voice know they belong to my sheep. This is really a scripture about belonging. That to know Christ is to know to whom you belong. And if there's anything I've learned in my own life, even to know who you are is to know to whom you belong. Belonging is at the heart of this scripture. And basically what it's saying to me now as I hear it in Easter is that even death does not break our belonging to Christ. That in Easter, what this means is that the gift of crucifixion and resurrection, the gift of Easter is a belonging that actually can't be broken. That can't be broken. And I began to see that. That's the great gift, you see. That's the great gift. One of the most precious things in life is belonging. And one of the most grievous things in life is when your belonging is interrupted by such things as death. So I want to share something personal. On Friday, we had a wonderful, wonderful service here for Mr. Price. Lines were out the door. I think we started a half hour late. I always joke that there won't be that many people at my service because I'm not that nice. You got to be nice to have that many people show up for your service, you know. Well, and I have permission to tell this story. I'm going to tell it anyway, even if I don't have your permission, Barbara. I'm wandering around back there prior to the service, and Barbara Hess walks up to me and says something along the lines of, that's Barbara back there. You probably don't like this kind of day, do you? Something like that, right? And I said, oh, no, it's deeply meaning. I put a pastor thing on. Oh, no, it's deeply meaningful. It's always rewarding to work with families, especially during times of difficulty. There's great joy in the midst of the sadness. But I think she knew that there was something wrong with me. Because earlier in the week, you see, my family said to me, you seem to be moping around a lot. So I think you were picking up on that. And so I said, my wife said to me, you seem to be moping around a lot. And I said, yeah, I don't know what it is. We have a funeral on Friday, but you know, I wasn't intimate with the family, etc. But and I do funerals, and then it hit me on Wednesday. I was grieving my mother's death. She passed in December. And granted, she was 99 and 8 months, and it was all joy, but you know what? I still lost her. I still lost her, and last Monday and Tuesday, I wanted to talk to her, and I had to talk to her in heaven, which is good. But the reason I was moping around was because even though I'm a preacher, and I've done those sorts of things countless hundreds of times, I can't always protect myself from the experience of loss. And don't imagine that Pastor Mittman could either. You know, you have to put on your, you have to do the work in that. And I've also found something very curious as a pastor. Sometimes the less I know a family, the more it gets to me because there's this little space where it can sneak up on me. Does that make sense? Whereas if I know the family really, really well, you can focus on all these details. I don't know if that makes sense, but I'll find that I'll be taken off guard at a service when I don't know the family that well, because it sneaks up on me and it bites me. Well, I just want to tell you that, so I talked to my family and I switched my prayers for the week and I said, Lord, I lost something and that can't be replaced. But once I named it, once I shifted my prayers, you know what? It's like weather, isn't it? Sometimes the weather clears. And grieving is like weird weather. You know, it comes up the coast and you don't know if it's going to hit. That's what grieving is like. And then all of a sudden the weather passes and you think you're in the clear. And then another system comes up the coast and hits you again. But the promise of Easter, the promise of Easter, not only to Mr. Price and his family, but to all of us, the promise of Easter is that our belonging cannot be broken ultimately, you see. Our belonging is unbroken because of resurrection. It's broken in this life, and you cry, because you should. But in Christ, my belonging to the Good Shepherd is reinforced and unbroken. And that's why I'm in church today. I'm not just in church because I'm paid to be here. I'm in church because the promise of Easter is our belonging is unbroken. Can I hear an amen from God's people? And so I want to commend that to you on this very, very beautiful day. I don't know if you're having experiences where the weather comes up the coast and nips you because you've had a loss, or whether you're just having a fine day or whatever. But I want to assure you, in the name of the gospel, that our belonging to Christ is unbroken because of Easter, and because of resurrection. And let all of God's people say amen.